Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Thanks, I don't need help. Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows, and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about breakups, pregnancies, and Bachelor alums making their big TV pivots.
And about how Patty Stanger's gender politics have not taken even a baby step forward since her millionaire matchmaker days.
Yeah, I would say maybe the level of crassness is slightly down, but the gender politics, no change whatsoever. We're not moving the needle on that in 2024. Today, we'll be getting into some reality dating show related gossip, of course, and then discussing two new shows featuring Bachelor alums, Patty Stanger Matchmaker, which features Nick Vile, and Going Home with Tyler Cameron, which features Tyler Cameron and every single one of his famous friends they could convince to come on this show.
Mostly just Matt and Hannah and some golfers.
Yeah, golfers. Jason Tardik, you know, we'll get into it. But let's start with some news and gossip because some shit went down this week, starting with the breakup of Victoria Fuller and Greg Grippo.
I think that this had been percolating for a while. Like, people were assuming that they had broken up. It seemed fairly obvious that they had broken up, but it had not been publicly confirmed. In the last week, it was confirmed. They unfollowed each other on Instagram, which is always a pretty good indicator. And then Page Six reported that they had, quote, quietly separated a few months ago after getting together in the fall of 2022.
Yes, they were together a little over a year in the
end. Yeah, a little over a year.
That's what matching tattoos that you got in Rome will get you.
Honestly, I respect the fact that they didn't do some like grainy black and white photo joint post like the day that they broke up. Like, they kind of gave each other some space. They let people guess and didn't feel kind of bullied into responding to it, and then had their people give some anonymous quotes to Page Six a couple months later. Yeah. I'm like, yes, this seems like a good way, an old school way to handle this kind of breakup, and I respect it.
It does kind of make me wonder, like, how the black and white photo breakup post became so expected. Like, do we want that? Does it seem easier to the couples going through it to just put one statement out there? Like, why is there always an announcement? It does seem like a little bit more chill to just quietly not post together. And then one day the news is sort of like confirmed in a quiet way instead of having to make an announcement. Like, it's starting to feel a little bit like self-important, like, attention, everyone. We have a big announcement to make. No questions at this time, please. You know, like, it was a year-long relationship. I don't think we need like a press conference.
Yeah. And also, just if I was someone in a public relationship that ended, I wouldn't want to feel like I have to craft this statement saying we're both on the same page and we I don't know, please like respect us as we go through on separate paths. It's like,
yeah,
no, just let me like be broken up with my boyfriend,
yeah,
and like have a little bit of time to process that. And you can think whatever you want, the public. It's really not my business.
Yeah, I want to see more of this. Plus, it gives us opportunity to, you know, close read people's Instagram follows and what they're doing on there, who they're tagging, which is good, healthy, parasocial fun. I was sparing a thought for the tattoos, though. They infamously like went to Italy together before her breakup with Johnny, who she met on Paradise, had even officially like been revealed, because they were still going through their Bachelor in Paradise storyline airing well after they had actually broken up. And so like at the Bachelor in Paradise reunion, they came on stage, Greg and Victoria, and showed off their matching tattoos they got in Italy that said ciao. And that's a big swing to get matching tattoos with a partner that you've only been dating for like 1 week. But they've chose really wisely, because ciao actually means both hello and goodbye. So it is fitting regardless of what you do.
I think about tattoos as like a moment in time. So as long as you don't get something so egregious.
Like, I want to guard and protect your heart.
Exactly. Like that, or like the person's name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fine.
But then you can always change it to Wino Forever. I would never get a name. I always say I won't get a tattoo that is, you know, featuring anyone that I might decide I don't want in my life at any point for any reason. You know, you just don't want to tempt fate.
So Greg will not be getting a tattoo.
Sorry,
on your
Greg.
Body.
Like, you just never
sorry.
Know. You never
you
know.
Never know. Greg could still turn out to suck one day. Like,
yeah,
you know,
life is long. You know, twists and turns happen. But I love that their tattoos are still fitting for the stage of their relationship that they're in now, which is more of a goodbye stage.
You know, we wish them both the best on their individual journeys.
Always. Kate Casey had a bit of a scoop about the golden divorce. The golden divorce gossip continues to percolate, and I think it will, because people are like,
confused.
What happened? Yeah, we need to know more.
So a source contacted Kate, a source that she will not reveal the name of because she is a good journalist. And this source is apparently the mother of one of Gary's youngest granddaughter's friends. So obviously, take any reports from this kind of person with a giant grain of salt, because even if it's totally exactly what she heard, it has still gone through.
Quite,
at least,
yeah,
like four different levels of telephone before it got to Kate. But according to this source, Gary wanted out of the marriage because Teresa was too, quote, uppity for him. And the examples given are that she wouldn't pump her own gas, which is kind of hilarious because she is from New Jersey and you are like literally not allowed to pump your own gas in New Jersey.
Yeah.
You're not.
You might not like develop that skill set if you're always driving in New Jersey.
Or you might just like not think of it immediately. Like, it might not occur to you to get out and pump your own gas if you're like constantly pumping gas in Jersey, because you can't pump your own gas.
Yeah.
That's why I personally like to drive over the border to Jersey to refill my car's gas. And this source also said that Teresa hated where Gary lived, which, I mean, yeah, she lives near New York City and he lives in Indiana.
I was like, so, yeah, like, I hate where he lives too.
Like, I can't blame her.
They're just different. Like, they live very different in very different kinds of communities. Like, she lives in a much more like, yeah, urban proximate suburb that is more of like a walkable, dense community. And he lives on a lake in the Midwest. So it's dissimilar.
Obviously, again, still feel that they should have thought these things through before getting married, yeah. But
also I am now sparing a thought for Gary's youngest granddaughter. Like, everyone knows who that is. Imagine finding out that like your granddaughter told a friend who told the media that you thought your ex-fiance was uppity.
Your granddaughter told a friend who told his mom.
Oh my
who
God.
Told the media.
Yeah, that friendship is cooked. Like, I don't understand also, why you don't have to tell trace your kids this exact. Secrets. Well, obviously don't. Like, there are a lot of don'ts here. Don't go to the media with secrets you got from your kids that they learned from their friends, unless you want to blow up their friendships. But yeah, also don't
be so specific. Be about so the
specific. I was like, you just need to say, I trust my source, or I know that they have reason to know this, but to give the exact
close to the family.
To give the exact people is really funny to me. Like Gary's youngest granddaughter is getting hauled in front of the family elders. Like, why did you talk about our business? So on the theme of the golden divorce, the golden bachelorette, April, who has been having a sort of interesting arc where she is on the outs with the rest of her friend group from the show, and it like has started posting content that's like a little bit provocative. Like she posted a reel that was like, when there's drama happening around you, but you're not involved. And it's a picture of her, like a video of her swirling around in like a flowery dress or something, like right after the golden divorce came out. And then she left this very yikes comment on Teresa's Instagram about the divorce. And then she eventually deleted it. She was like, that was a poor judgment call. But the original comment said, I wish you the very best. I tried to tell you, but this was your lesson to experience.
I truly tried to tell you.
Much love.
Like, April, why would you post that publicly?
That is so
I wish you the very
bananas.
Best. I wish you the very best. I love you.
I told you
but
so.
But I did tell you.
I told you so.
Yeah. I knew and I told you. April. She has since responded to people who were like, why did you post this? This is rude. And she said, I care for all women in the world. I want us all to learn from each other and be smart and empowered. Lessons offer us the opportunity. We've all had our hearts broken. What we do with it is entirely up to us. Let's rock this world, ladies. Teresa can lead the way. Except she did a typo and it says Therese.
Did ChatGPT write that response?
She also responded to someone else who called her out saying, I agree. I spoke with Teresa. Thank you for calling this to my attention. Poor judgment call on my part.
April.
Okay, this
She's
is what
like,
happens.
Truly, you're not asking, but I will tell, like it or not.
This is what happens. No offense. I love boomers, but this is boomer chaos social media right here.
Yeah. There's like a kind of lack of understanding about just how public certain things are.
Right.
It sort of feels like maybe there is a sense that's like, this is sort of like sending her an email. And it's not. It's like taking out a billboard.
Right. It's like, no, you're going to end up in People.
Yeah. Anyway, she has said that she talked to Teresa and they're good. We hope that that is the case and that Teresa being amply supported by all of her friends.
Yes. Yes. I did see that Leslie commented on that same post and said, I love you, my friend. I'm so happy to call you that. You're beautiful inside and out. So
she didn't say anything like, I dodged that
bullet
or anything like
that. Thank God for me.
Yeah, that's a choice too. Let's get into a little bit of non-bachelor gossip because a couple things from the Netflix reality dating universe happened this week. Ryan and James from season 2 of The Ultimatum are having a baby.
They were the high school sweethearts.
Yeah, they were like 23 or like 24 and they were like, we've been dating for 7 years. How are we not married yet? And I was like, well, because you're barely
you were in high school.
College. Yeah, that whole part where you were in high school, that doesn't really count towards the tally. You just
but
basically
they
you've
are
been
married.
Together for 2 years and because you that's how long you've been together as
in adult years.
Yeah.
But they are married and they are having a baby. So, you know, mazel to them. They're very cute.
Yeah.
And they seem very happy.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of their relationship on the show, but we all know it's an intense process going on The Ultimatum, and
I feel like I wasn't that big of a fan of any of the relationships.
Well, I never
on the last season.
That's the thing.
That's kind of the premise of the ultimatum, I guess, is like, let us show you how flawed all these relationships are.
Yeah, the relationships look terrible. And then they show up like at the reunion pregnant, like Colby and Madeline, and everyone's like, eh. But Colby and Madeline are still going strong and having more children every day. So hopefully Ryan and James are in that same category and that they will thrive.
Another piece of gossip from the Netflix cinematic universe that I was just delighted by is that Megan Fox finally got asked directly on camera about all of the hubbub about Chelsea from Love is Blind, saying that she gets told she looks like Megan Fox. And I thought Megan Fox gave a really great response to this question. We have a clip.
I did see a picture of her, and I guarantee you she has, like, very blue, like, slightly slatted almond-shaped eyes. 100,000% people have told her, you kind of look like Megan Fox. So I believe she's telling the truth, and I hope, like, she still has that sparkle in her eye. I hope the world didn't steal it from her. Mine died long ago from being bullied for 20 years. So I hope that didn't happen to her. Best wishes and blessings. And yeah, I don't think she deserved that. I think people went way too hard. That was a very bizarre, like, I don't know why that got so much press.
I this made me so happy. This, like, made my day when I saw
it. Me too. It made me so happy. Megan Fox was like, yeah, I see it. It makes sense. Why the fuck does anyone care? And why were they mad at her?
And why did this take so long? We got, like, her ex-husband's thoughts on this, which, by the way, were pretty mean. Weeks ago, and nothing from Megan Fox herself until now. And Megan Fox is, she's a girl's girl. She's been through the meat grinder of the industry. She gets it. And
yeah,
she knows. Chelsea has, like, those features that would make someone say, oh, you look like the celebrity.
As I said, when we recapped Love is Blind, before she uttered who her doppelganger was, in my head, I said Megan Fox. Like, there just is
there's a
similarity in some features. And so I am glad. This is just, the conversation is ended now. Because
yeah.
Megan Fox.
She's weighed in.
Megan Fox, yeah, she's weighed in. We don't need to hear anything else. I do think it took a while to get this from her because she does not watch Love is Blind. So she heard about this from other people.
Yeah, which is valid.
Yeah, she said, like, at awards shows, like, other celebrities were, like, coming up to her and being like, did you see this?
God, I just can't imagine being, like, sort of a normal person one day, and then the next day a bunch of movie stars are arguing about whether I look like one of them. Like, it must be very confusing.
Yeah,
on an emotional level.
Chelsea's really been through it. But I hope she feels somewhat vindicated.
I think she does. I saw she posted
a reel
after this, and she seemed pretty
okay.
Pleased to know that Megan Fox knew who she was. It was sweet. So, ending on a positive note with our news and gossip there, and we'll be right back to discuss Tyler Cameron's new show, Going Home with Tyler Cameron, and then we'll be talking about Patty Stanger Matchmaker.
Can you keep up?
Spring has sprung and summer is just around the corner. Packing your bag with sunscreen, your emotional support water bottle, and that steamy beach read.
But wait, this year there's a new kind of essential that's right at your fingertips.
And you don't even have to remember to pack it because it'll be right on your phone. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories.
They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups.
And there's a growing library of fantasy series, if that's your thing, with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, and Regency era historical fiction.
You know we love that.
Yes. Yes, we do.
New content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again and again, you can always, you know, experiment and find something new to explore. I've been a huge fan of Dipsy for a long time because as much as I love reading, sometimes I want to hear my erotica. And I like that Dipsy gives me the option to do that with content that I know has been made with women in mind. And of course, if I decide I want to go back to reading, you can do that too.
For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/LTSI.
That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/LTSI.
dipsystories.com/LTSI. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes there will be something that is just like nagging at me, bothering me about something in my life, and I just swirl it around and around and around in my head and don't quite know how to address it. And something that can really help me sort that through and like take action is therapy.
I completely agree. I've been really stressed lately because I've just been getting sick over and over again. And before I know it, I'm feeling a lot of emotions and I don't even connect where they're coming from with the actual origin. We all carry around these stressors, right? And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a great safe space to get things off of your chest and figure out how to actually work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list, as they should, because it's very important.
If that's you, then make this year the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Wow, that is really fast. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I personally used Babbel before I headed off to Paris for 3 weeks, and it was so helpful, just kind of giving me back the basic understanding of French, allowing me to interact with people in restaurants, in shops, and, you know, just not make a total fool of myself when in a foreign country.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we are back. It's time to talk about our guy, Tyler Cameron, arguably one of the most successful men to ever come out of the Bachelor franchise, his new HGTV-style home reno show on Amazon Prime, which, yes, we did watch almost all of it.
Yeah, I would say I watched 93% of it, and that's, I think that's enough to get a pretty strong sense of what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. So the premise of this show is that it is a home renovation show, except all of the renovators are led by contractor Tyler Cameron, who has moved back to his hometown of Jupiter, Florida, to start a home reno company and also to renovate his late mother's home.
Yes. His company is called Image One, which is like the most hilariously generic company name I've ever heard. I was like, it could be any kind of company. Also,
yeah, I actually would think that's like a photo design company or
right.
something.
Yeah, photo design or like a printing shop or something. Yeah. I was like, it could be so many things.
I wouldn't think it was, it was like, I will renovate the primary suite in your waterside mansion.
Get your the primary suite in your waterside mansion renovated by me, Tyler Cameron.
I'm so nice and handsome.
And handsome. Yeah, so let's get into what actually happens in this show. Like, structurally, it's a case of the week or renovation of the week show. His company takes on a client.
Usually they have some sort of personal connection to his past, a friend, one of his parents' friends, his dad's cousin, or his high school girlfriend, Chelsea, whose condo he renovates.
And she broke his heart when they were teenagers. So obviously that is a lasting wound. He did write about her in his book, which we did unfortunately read. The show is clearly trying to capitalize on the fact that Tyler Cameron is like a well-known like heartbreaker stud. And so they're really trying to like plumb his personal life. They're really trying to be like, look at this sweet guy. Like, girls broke his heart before. Like this girl, Chelsea, who has a condo that also happens to need renovating. While he is renovating the condo, they're like lightly flirting with each other.
Well, mostly he's flirting with her. And then she's like, okay, Tyler, we can be friends. You can come over to my condo as part of a group hang sometime. Like, it's very uncomfortable at a certain point. Like, it starts to be like, you're a professional and this is your ex and you keep hitting on her. Get some boundaries, buddy. Like, what are
there are no boundaries on this show, because this is not really a home renovation show. It is a show about Tyler Cameron. We have a little clip of these very odd interactions with his ex-girlfriend.
What's your go-to dish?
You know, I'm really good at making breakfast.
Really?
Yeah.
Just forget that.
Right here in front of mom, man. Whew, it just got really hot in this house.
Tyler is just a huge flirt. He's always been like that since we were younger. It's just Tyler, and it's just, it doesn't come off smooth at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. It comes off like he's hitting on a client at work, and it's very uncomfortable. And this is, I think that part of what's going on with this show is that Tyler is not really a great TV host. What he's great at being is attractive and good at flirting in an like relatable and cute way on screen. And so they have to try to like squeeze that into this home reno show. They're like, who can we get on screen that he can flirt and have chemistry with? Because that's kind of what he's good at. It's what he's known for. Whenever he's talking about the renovations, I'm just like, I want to fall asleep. I'm tired.
Completely glazing over. I was laughing so hard every time that the voiceover came on, because it's so clear that he had to do like a million takes of that voiceover in post.
Yeah.
And the cadence is just very awkward. Like,
yeah, sometimes they ADR his part of a conversation of them like doing a house walkthrough, and it'll be like the back of Tyler's head and the room tone will change and he'll be like, well, I think maybe if we add 10 more thousand to the estimate, I can bump that up. Maybe I can get that deal to you. And then cut back to the other person saying in a normal way, yeah, that sounds good. It's very like scripted and rehearsed for this
Tyler,
kind of show.
Tyler is not a TV host. And I do think something that matters when you're talking about a great like home design or home renovation show, as someone who has watched a lot of HGTV and a lot of footage of Chip and Joanna Gaines, is that it really matters if the hosts are charismatic and able to kind of lead you into the narrative of each new home renovation and each design project. Like, you have to feel like the stakes are kind of high. Like, you don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. And there has to be banter that feels really natural between the team. And Tyler, look, he's lovely, but he struggles a little with it. Like, I think on Hannah Brown's season, he benefited from the fact that Hannah is extremely compelling. Mm-hmm. And Luke P was such a wild villain that it like gave Tyler the perfect opportunity to step up and like deliver cutting lines to him and like be the good guy.
Yeah.
But there's no villain in this show.
Yeah, exactly. He is an ensemble player. He brings like a low-key, like really appealing, laid-back, like lazy. Not that he's lazy, but he brings that kind of energy. You know, like he's calming. Like, you feel calm in his presence. But then when he's trying to be like, oh, well, looks like we got to really get this project moving to keep them happy so we can get more clients. And I'm like, I just don't like really feel the urgency. It just feels like they wrote
it's
you a script.
It's a lot of monotone.
Yeah, it's very monotone. But they counteract this by just getting him half naked as much as they can or fully naked. And they also did that a lot in the promo for the show. He appeared like fully in the nude on the Vile Files. And I don't watch the show on YouTube, but they talk about it a little bit. So that became clear. He did like an OnlyFans to promote the show.
Oh, really?
Like, he was really playing up the sex appeal. And so they're always like, let's get these experts in here to design and to figure out how to get all the technical components to work. And here's Tyler's specialty. He's going to take his shirt off and swing a sledgehammer at the wall.
Well, that's why I kept laughing so hard, especially at the beginning. I was like, Tyler's whole thing is that he worked as a contractor, mm-hmm. but he's still pretty green. And he's starting this company, but he seems to have the least knowledge of, like, anyone.
He does have the least knowledge.
He does have the least knowledge. Yeah. So then I'm like, wait, why is he leading a home renovation show? And then it goes back in this, it's circular. It's like, oh, because he's hot and famous. And then you're like, why is he hot and famous? Because he has this calming energy that requires other people around him. And like, then, like, it's just... It's a constant circle.
They're trying to make... They have so many pieces of, like, a really good home reno show that they're trying to make work, but they just aren't quite the right pieces. Like, they have a lead who is sort of a relative newbie to the world, which is, like, a classic show structure. Like, oh, we're going to learn about this through our protagonist who's also learning about it. Like they'll have him learn about design elements or how to like build a built-in cabinet. And then we learn about it at the same time. But that's not like a great format for a construction show because you kind of feel like he should know what the fuck he's doing to be in charge of this company.
Yeah, I like started getting very nervous.
And they have like his old friend who's also like 20 years older than him, you know, kind of an older brother figure. Who is the real experience in the team. And then they have a designer who's a design expert. And so Tyler is always the one learning. But yeah, it's not quite the right vibe for a home reno show. And then they have like, he's so like hunky, but it works better when he's like flirting respectfully with a woman who brings the firecracker energy. But that's not really a normal part of a home reno show. So they're like, here's his ex-girlfriend. Here's Hannah. Like, here's his aunt. He's being sort of flirty with her. Why not? Like, what the hell? Let's throw her in there, too. There's a scene where he's redoing his aunt and uncle's house. Basically, it's his dad's cousin, Howie, and his dad's cousin's wife, Michelle. So they're not, to be fair, blood related. And he's like,
still weird.
He's like, Aunt Michelle has really stepped up. She's like a surrogate mom to me since my mom died. We're very close. And then the whole episode ends with him unveiling like a mantelpiece portrait of him, like in the buff on a bearskin, Burt Reynolds style. And she's like covering her eyes. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, that is like giving
Don't
a nude portrait of
your
yourself
aunt.
To your aunt. Like, and the whole gag is really not for them, right? It's for us, the audience, who want to see Tyler shirtless. But the result is that they're having him kind of sexually harass his aunt to achieve that. And I was like, I don't know if this is all coming together. Like, something's not working in the formula here.
There are really so many moving pieces to this show. Like, there are these more emotionally resonant pieces. You know, we get the through line of the loss of Tyler's mother, which obviously is so sad. His mom, Andrea, died suddenly of a brain aneurysm in 2020. Her house was finally paid off, like, the week that she passed away. And Tyler's plan had been to renovate it for her so that she could, like, live in a nice new home. And it seems like the house just sort of became, like, a crash pad. No one's really known what to do with it because, obviously, it holds so much emotional weight for the family. And 4 years after her death, he is now fulfilling that plan. He is renovating the house with the help of his family and his mom's friends as sort of like a tribute to her and also a place where he and his brother can actually live comfortably.
Yeah. So he has two brothers. He's the oldest. One of them is in the military now, and I believe his youngest brother is still in college.
So, and that's the one that...
So he's the one that's around, right? Yeah. Like his middle brother is in the military. So he's often not there. We do get a couple scenes of the three Cameron boys together while he's home briefly to work on. They renovate also Tyler's dad's house. This whole like through line of like their family renovations was kind of like, it's a real like, shoemaker's wives go barefoot and doctor's wives die young sort of situation. His dad has been a contractor his whole life and has built houses all over Jupiter. And his dad's house and his mom's house are both just like in a shambles and haven't been renovated properly in like decades. And his dad doesn't have countertops. He just reaches through the top of the cabinets to take out his pots. His mom's house is a mess. And Tyler finally has to step in and renovate them for this show. And I was like, he couldn't renovate this house at some point in the last. That's what he does. But you're always doing the professional work. You're not thinking about your own house that needs to be renovated.
Yeah. But Tyler will do that for his family. And it is, and that part is very genuinely sweet.
Yeah. By the payoff, they finally finished the renovation of his mom's home in the last episode. And I was pretty weepy
I was crying.
Yeah. As a person with a heart, it was hard not to be moved. He and his brothers clearly just absolutely adored their mom. And as a mom of boys, I was like, this is propaganda. They want me to start making reels that are like boy mom forever, you know, because they're just like these three grown men are just like, everything we do, we just want to make mama proud. And I'm like, aw, they love her so much. It's so sweet. Like,
why don't my young sons talk about me this way?
I know. Why doesn't my 4-year-old constantly try to make me proud of him? No, he actually does. He just doesn't talk about it that way. But no, it's very, very sweet. And when they finish the renovation, his dad is also there. They were divorced, but still had a friendship. And it's clear that his dad also really adored and respected their mom, despite not maybe being the best husband, which Tyler writes about in his memoir. And so they all are just going through this beautiful house that Tyler and his team have fixed up and just getting very emotional because it's what their mom wanted. And now she's not there to experience it. So it's bittersweet.
Yeah, and I was very much crying in the finale. And there is a moment even where Tyler and his brother and his dad all take turns throwing in Tyler's portion of his mother's ashes and plant a butterfly tree over it. And like at the end, his father like touches his hand and like blows a kiss like to the tree while he's crying. And I was like, okay, I'm weeping now.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my family did that with my mom's ashes and at the house that I grew up in.
It's beautiful.
We planted like a river birch and some of her ashes were put in at the planting. And so whoever lives in that house now, just FYI, you can never cut that tree down. But it was very, very sweet and touching to see. It's just like there is a little bit of like, how do these elements all blend together?
Yes. Like, I think that's what was tripping me up is I'm like, okay, so this emotional through line is very compelling. I really felt it. It was like, I was very affected by them all talking about his mother. And that felt very emotionally resonant. But then there's this whole other element of like, Tyler's trying to start a business. And then there's the element of like, Tyler's already famous. So he has these hot, famous friends. And you're like, what am I supposed to be taking away from this? Like, what are they trying to do? And I think what I've concluded by the end is just like, they're not really sure what they want to do. And they were like, let's throw a bunch of things that could be compelling at the wall and figure out what sticks.
Yeah. I think it might work for a lot of people. I didn't find it to be a chore to get through for sure. There is a lot of stuff where I was like, why would you do that exactly? But, you know, it's pleasant viewing. And I did learn some stuff about contracting. I feel like I'm going to tackle my own home renovation next. I recommend if you watch it, don't play a drinking game involving the word coastal, because you will be dead by the end of this show. I heard the term coastal to describe decor and design like 50 times an episode.
Cali coastal?
It's almost like, what's the point of using it anymore? Every design scheme is coastal. It's like, that's a given. Let's just, you know, take
like,
that.
But do we want Scandinavian coastal?
Right.
California coastal.
Japandi coastal.
Japandi coastal.
Yeah. Nautical coastal. It's all coastal. I mean, they are in Jupiter, so fair enough. But yeah, by the end, I felt like I'd just been in a deep coastal bath of
well, I wanted
design.
To rip out my kitchen cabinets by the time I finished the show, which I guess, yeah. to be fair, is the effect that any home renovation show has on me.
Yeah, it did have that kind of satisfying home reno effect. I'm not an expert, and certainly I have not personally encountered any of these properties, but from the remove I'm at, they looked like nice renovations. I was always like, oh yeah, no, I would like that renovation to be done to my home. So that worked for me. I was also like a little bit just depressed also about the idea that you buy a house and then you have to like every 5 years, I guess, do a complete refresh. Cause they would just be like, oh, these counters are dated. These counters were in 10 years ago. They're dated now. We have to put in new counters. And they're like sledgehammering countertops.
Yeah, that's how they get you, Claire. It's like fashion trends. You got to keep buying or else you'll never keep up. So most of us just accept that like we will not be updating our kitchens every 5 years because that's ridiculous.
I mean, it's just so funny how they talk about it like it's a real problem. They're like, oh my God, this is so dated in here. This is in the style of 15 years ago. This is a real issue. You've got to update this kitchen. And I'm like, do you? Does it work? Does the oven work? Do you have cabinets? I feel like it's okay. And then they're always like, if there's a closed floor plan, they're knocking down on the walls. And if there's an open floor plan, they're like, we got to put in alcoves with some arches because there's just too much open space here.
I know. I was like, are we finally seeing the backlash to the full open concept? Because they still do a lot of it. But like, I did notice in Tyler's mom's mm-hmm. home, for example, they left the galley kitchen. They made it look really beautiful, but it was still a galley kitchen. They did not insist on knocking down all the walls.
Yeah, I think that people are starting to recognize that there are downsides to the open floor plan. You know, kitchen smells get everywhere. If you have a mess in the kitchen, you can see it from any part of the house. These are just a couple of things I think about. I also am surprised when families with little kids want the open floor plan because I'm always just dying for a room where I can close the door and the kids won't be able to get into toxic chemicals or like, you know, the toilet. You know, I'd like to be able to contain them more. So I think there are a lot of reasons to bring more closed floor plans back. And maybe this is going to help lead us back
yeah,
to galley kitchens.
This is the revolution.
Yeah.
This is the walled revolution.
Yeah, the right revolution here. of paying for a lot more home reno every few years. But at least you can get some walls this time.
Something that I did appreciate about the show is that the budgets felt fairly reasonable to me, which is not always something you see on a home reno show. Like, what is that home renovation show that's like based in Utah? It's on Netflix. And they're always just renovating like massive Utah mansions are clearly like millions of dollars.
Yeah, I feel like you could be describing a show that is or isn't real. And
yeah,
I would have no.
That's it is
it would
real,
be called something
and
like
now,
Home Sweet Home. With, you know, Bob and Jane. And I don't know. They all seem the same to me.
It's called Dream Home Makeover. And
okay,
it's with the McGees, Sid and Shay McGee, who have like they have a Target line that's actually
sure.
quite nice. But yeah.
We're like, the consumerism, just, yuck. But we love the Target line. It's so good.
So reasonably priced. but they are constantly just renovating just massive, massive
yeah.
Utah homes for like other beautiful white families.
Yeah.
That have all open concept and just like so much marble. And but also like a farmhouse light fixture or whatever over the kitchen island. I don't know.
Absolutely.
My point is, Tyler's show does feel a little different than that. Like, I enjoyed that one of the episodes follows, again, his ex-girlfriend's condo renovation, but it's like a small condo and she needs to stay under $50,000, ideally $40,000. And they do a lot with that. Like, it's really cool. And I was like, oh yeah, this is like an apartment that a normal young person might be able to afford and put a little bit of money into.
A normal medical device salesperson.
Who sells breast implants. Yes.
Can afford.
Yes.
Also, like, that's how they get you, because I absolutely cannot afford $40,000 to $50,000 renovations. But I'm like, oh yeah, that's so achievable. I could definitely do that. I can't. And I don't own a home to renovate. But it does seem so much more approachable.
It's more approachable than like, here's a $200,000 budget to renovate my like multi-million dollar home.
Absolutely. And Tyler keeps like explaining this away. He's like, when you're starting out, you just have to take any job you can get to build word of mouth. Like, he seems a little embarrassed. He's like, we found someone who wants to spend $30,000 to redo their bedroom. Can we make a TV show about that? Like, this is where we're at right now. Is that okay?
Well, I appreciate that. Do more of these smaller jobs, because it was refreshing to me.
Absolutely.
Something else that we have to talk about is the Bachelor tie-in of this show. They take every opportunity possible to remind us. Tyler, he was on The Bachelorette, and he has friends who were The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yes, he has friends like Matt James and Hannah Brown. They, of course, feature prominently. Hannah features prominently in like promo for the show, and she makes her like grand arrival at the end of episode 7 and into episode 8, which is the last episode. Like, Matt James and Rachel O'Connell are always just there hanging out.
Especially Matt James. Rachel was clearly like, I will come for a couple days and then I'm done. Matt was like, I'll come back anytime.
Yeah.
And I love how with Hannah, they're really trying in the little promos to be like, has she returned to date Tyler? Like, that is the vibe, but it's so obvious that
I feel like they're always doing this with Hannah whenever she comes back on a show. They're like, maybe she's single and here to mingle, as if it's a big secret. No one knows that she's engaged, but we know. It's public information.
We know she is literally happily engaged to someone who is not Tyler Cameron, and also that Tyler decided to date Gigi Hadid briefly instead of pursuing a relationship with Hannah.
Yeah, right, he's like, oh, it didn't work out. It didn't work out when we got together. And I'm like, is that how you would describe it, Tyler? Okay. I feel like this was maybe filmed kind of a while ago, though, because they have his mom's gala, like the foundation that they started for her. I remember when that happened on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe
and it was
a year. Yeah, so it was probably before Hannah was engaged.
Yeah, but she's obviously
she was definitely
been,
with Adam.
Yeah, she's definitely been. It's more just like with his ex-girlfriend, Chelsea. It's all about creating the implication that Tyler might be about to fall in love, which
with
they
anyone.
Know is what we really want to see. Like, that's why we're here, to watch Tyler flirt and fall in love with the spitfire of a woman that we can really get behind. And that doesn't happen. That's not actually what this show is about.
No, it's apparently about home renovations.
But they bring in
dating.
So many people. They also bring in Jason Tardik for one episode. Actually, this was one of my favorite episodes because it is the Tyler Becomes a Landlord episode. He brings in Jason, who is in finance, to be his business partner to like buy a rental property, a short-term rental property, aka like an Airbnb. And he brings in Jason, like, shows him the place, takes him on a boat, like, gives him the hard sell. Jason's like, great, I'm in, as long as it's only $65,000 for the renos, and they shake on it. And then it turns out that Tyler didn't know about termites and didn't get the house inspected for termites. And the house is covered in termite damage. See, this is, you learn on the job, right? You learn by convincing your friend to invest in a property with you without knowing that you're supposed to check for termites.
That's a nightmare.
And then they do a big like party pad renovation to make it like a bachelor pad spot with like a pool and a bar made out of a dinghy and like a captain's wheel that's like a like a spin the wheel game, like take a shot, like all these. It's such a party pad spot. And the whole episode is just them being like, oh, the short-term rental market here is so hot. We have to create photographable moments throughout the house so we can charge so much money every night for people to stay here, even though it's not on the water. And it's really just a residential home in a residential neighborhood that now no one will live in because it's an expensive Airbnb. I got a little depressed by this. But that's like that's part of the whole like home reno world is that everyone's like either they're flipping homes or they're like turning them into Airbnbs.
Yeah, Airbnbs and just destroying residential neighborhoods.
And like, I'm part of the problem. I've stayed in Airbnbs, but I don't know, this episode showing the sausage getting made was like kind of depressing. And just seeing how much more money they could charge by adding a couple like relatively cheap design elements. And I was like,
if you can Instagram around the house, then it's worth a lot more.
Someone could live in this 3-bedroom house in a quiet, not waterfront neighborhood, but this is good too.
They could be a single guy getting to live out his dreams of being a boat captain and also taking shots.
That's true. Yeah. You know, someone could have that.
There's opportunities all around.
Yeah. So then we get lots of footage of Jason Tardik with Tyler shirtless or in tank tops demoing the house. And then at the end, like jumping shirtless into the pool. They're like, let's get some bachelor bros on here and get their tops off. That is the selling point of this show. I don't know if we see Matt without his shirt.
I don't think so. I think Matt was like, I'm done here. I've done enough for you. But good timing for Jason because his new like finance book just came out.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that during gossip. Together. But
yeah. And they also clearly got the Amazon like extra boost by letting them do ads in the show. Like there's one episode where they're styling a house for Christmas after they do the renovation, and the Christmas stylist whips out this Amazon box with like the pristine Amazon Prime tape on it, and the camera like zooms in on it, and he's like, we had to have this touch for a Jupiter house at Christmas, and thank goodness for Amazon Prime, it was able to get here in time. And he opens it and it's just sand dollar tree ornaments. Or well, like sea star, starfish tree ornaments.
You can only get those on thank you. Amazon Prime. Jeff Bezos, Daddy Bezos.
They're like, yeah, whatever. We love you. Whatever extra cut we get for this deal by letting you do product placement for Amazon Prime, we're in.
Amazon just continues to have the most like dystopian integrated brand moments.
They haven't figured out how to make it not dystopian. They figured out how to get a lot of it, but not how to make it seem remotely natural or appealing. So what did you think of Hannah Brown's arc? That's like the culmination of the design, like reno of the week side of the show. Like the final episode is Tyler's mom's home renovation is finished and Hannah comes in for the last project that we see him do for like pay.
Yeah, Hannah is coming in to design the primary suite of one of Tyler's clients, a couple who just happen to be big Bachelor fans. So the wife is very thrilled to Hannah B designing her bedroom. Apparently, Hannah has a design background, which I had completely forgotten about.
Did they ever talk about this?
I don't know. I was like, I either memory hold this or just never knew it. But I guess that's what she was doing. She went on TV.
I had an inkling because I've been trying to read her romance novel, and the main character of that romance novel is an interior designer.
Oh, well, yeah. Pulling from real life, you know, that's what authors often do. And Hannah really brings her skill set to this project. My main takeaway from watching her was just like, wow, Hannah is way more compelling on TV than Tyler. Oh, I see why she was the lead of a TV show.
Yeah. She really, like, it feels like, so Tyler and his team, like Rob, his friend, and Jess, the designer, are always doing these three-part confessional interviews where they, like, talk about the reno, and they're all standing together facing the camera. And it always looks so, like, awkward. Like, it's, they don't know where to look. They don't know who to look at or, like, who's kind of in charge of the conversation. And when Hannah's standing there, it's so obvious that she's, like, the centerpiece of the shot. And Tyler is able to sort of, like, meld into the background a little bit and be that supporting handsome man player that we love him to be. And I felt like that was almost like the missing piece. Like if they could get Hannah to be, and Jess is great, but like not, it's very rare to have that kind of talent for just being the centerpiece of a reality TV show.
No, she's just so telegenic. She has such a warm energy. It's immediately compelling. You want to watch her. And so it made the finale, certainly, I think, between that and the like payoff of that emotional buildup about his late mother, like it was a really compelling episode. Episode 8 was just a more interesting episode than all the other ones.
I would be worried if I were Jet. Like they clearly did this very manufactured, like this is when the scripting started to feel even more obvious to me, when they were like, oh, we have this big project, but we have to do it in 3 to 4 weeks. And Jess was like, I think you're just going to have to clone me because I can't design that quickly without lowering my standards. And Tyler's like, I think we're going to figure something out. And then in comes Hannah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure this was just the best they could do in an emergency. They're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, Jess was like, I can't I cannot do this project. I guess my dear friend, Hannah Brown, will have to come in and save the day.
Yeah.
But honestly, yeah, good move. I always like to see Hannah B on my TV.
Yeah. I don't even care if she did the actual design work or not. I don't know who does any of the actual work on these shows, but being on camera is a very important part of the job.
Exactly. On that note, I think we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we have to talk about this new Patty Stanger show and Nick Viall's role in it.
Can you keep up?
Disposable paper towels are bulky, expensive, and super wasteful.
Oy, do I know that. Luckily, now we have reusable paper towels from Papaya.
You must be thinking, isn't a reusable paper towel just a rag? I mean, that's what I used to think.
No. No, it's not, Claire. Now we know, because Papaya reusables are so much better.
Yeah, they're super quick drying, so they don't get that nasty, mildewy rag smell. You know what I mean. It's gross.
Plus, one reusable paper towel from Papaya replaces 17 rolls of disposable paper towels.
Oh my God, I know. Do you live in a small space like we do, like an apartment? Storing all those paper towels takes up a lot of your apartment's footprint. Plus, each sheet has a hole in the corner, and each pack comes with a signature Papaya hook, so you can hang them around your house for different uses, which is so useful to make sure you have a dedicated spot for it to hang and get nice and dry and ready to use for next time.
For a deeper clean, you can just pop them on the top rack of your dishwasher, and they come in so many cute designs to choose from to match any home aesthetic.
I love my Papaya reusable paper towels. I actually have used reusable paper towels for a while, and these are not only so cute, so durable. They also do have that signature little hole and hook, which means I actually can use them more often because I always know where they are. They're always dry and ready, hanging there instead of like lying somewhere on my counter in a pool of water, which is what used to happen to my old reusable paper towels. Such an improvement.
Go to papayareusables.com and take 30% off site-wide with code LTSI. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
And we are back. Emma, I'm not well after watching the new Patty Stanger show.
Okay, Claire, I have to ask you, did you ever watch Millionaire Matchmaker?
Oh, I did. I did. That heavily informed my interest in this show, and it informed how I felt watching it. But it just feels like such a relic of its time, right? Millionaire Matchmaker. You watched it, right?
Yes, I did. For those who are maybe unfamiliar, it premiered in January 2008 on Bravo and ran on that network until 2015. And then I think it sort of like bopped around smaller networks. And then Patty kind of disappeared for a couple years.
Yeah. Even like her whole aesthetic and approach to dating felt very much like early aughts to me, like late 90s, early aughts. And she was kind of bringing that forward a little bit. And it felt already kind of dated at the time. And now it feels like insanely dated. And it was sort of like defiant. Yeah. It was like, you might think that progress is happening, but the pecker wants what the pecker wants. And like, you just got to follow that pointer, and it's pointing towards old school gender roles and straight hair.
Whole thing was like, I only work with rich men, and what they want is hot, pliable women.
Yeah, flexible, pliable, straight-haired women.
And their dicks get whatever they want. Yeah. They deserve it. So this is like supposed to be the new Patty Stanger, right? She's supposed to be a little bit more egalitarian. Yeah. She's not just working for millionaires. She's not just working for men. She's more equal opportunity now.
Yeah, she's so like, I'm just going to take my matchmaking skills and apply them to non-millionaires. And my skills involve matching rich men with desperate women who have exactly the physical traits that they want. So this should translate really well to regular non-millionaire matchmaking. But to help her out, she is joined in this show by Nick Vile, a soi-disant relationship expert, former bachelor at Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor Star, host of the hit podcast, The Vile Files, also our friend of many years, which, you know, it makes discussing the show a little bit awkward, but, you know, Nick wouldn't pull his punches. So I'm not going to either.
No.
because this show gave me a lot of feelings. Do we want to check out the trailer of this show?
Yeah, I think you get a little bit of the vibe from the trailer. Let's play a clip.
You may know me as the Millionaire Matchmaker, but I'm offering my services to any single looking for love. I've teamed up with Nick Vile, a relationship expert.
What do you want out of dating?
I want a partner.
I'm single as can be.
So you want this perfect looking person.
Shocker. I'm telling it like it is.
Where's the ring?
No bling, no swing, baby.
By the way, no I think bling. That's Justin Glaze no saying swing. I'm single as can be.
It is Justin Glaze.
He's since found love. We're very happy for him.
Something that I love about both the Patty Stanger show and the Tyler Cameron show is that they're just really, they're finally realizing, like, The Bachelor has produced this deep well of talent.
Yes.
We got to spread them around.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all trying to find a spot for these people who really thrived in the Bachelor ecosystem.
And, you know, I don't know if any of them have quite nailed the formula yet, but it's worth trying. Yeah, because it's a bona fide star maker. These episodes in this new show, there are two out so far that we've seen. They're basically the same as Millionaire Matchmaker in structure and very similar to other matchmaking shows I've seen.
Yeah, like Jewish Matchmaking and Indian Matchmaking. Yeah. There is that kind of like client, a couple clients each week. We might check back in with them. We might not.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever really checked back in Millionaire Matchmaker. It doesn't seem clear yet if that will happen here. But we get like a little update sometimes at the end of the episode about whether they've gone out again. So each week so far, 2 weeks, we've met a straight man and a straight woman in each of the first two episodes. And each of them is seeking Patty and Nick's help because they are finally ready to commit to a relationship.
But they're having trouble. So they need experts.
And so Patty, with Nick's help, meets the singles, sort of diagnoses what's wrong with them that has driven them to her doorstep. And then she and Nick provide a little coaching and one or two sort of official setups, official dates. That's the structure. The vibes are so weird.
It's because like, the vibes are classic Patty Stanger.
Yeah.
Like Nick is in this show, but look at the title. This is Patty Stanger's show. And she has a couple other cast members around her. But this is like Patty's vibe. They're trying to bring it back. They're trying to make it more palatable to a 2024 audience. But she still holds the same basic views. She's very like, there are rules and they are often break down by gender.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly can't imagine her having a lot of like queer or gender nonconforming clients. We definitely don't meet any, at least in these first two episodes.
I don't know. She wouldn't have the faintest idea what to do with them.
Well,
she doesn't even know what to do with the straight person who has heard about pop feminism like in the last 15 years. She has no idea. She's like, what? Don't think about that. That's not real. Stop. I don't like it.
She's like, women all want men to lead. Don't ever ask permission to do anything sexual.
Don't
just
ask for consent. That looks weak and women hate it. It will give them the ick. I mean, that's always been kind of her hallmark is like, I'm going to tell you the brutal truths about dating that are impolite to discuss because I'm going to get results. Like you want to bag a rich man. You've got to be the woman he wants. And you can't just sit there and be like, he's got to love me for the special snowflake I am. If
and
you have curly hair, get
thin,
the fuck out of her sight.
Straight.
Yeah.
Thin, straight, and young are
thin,
pretty
straight,
much the
straight hair.
Straight hair.
She literally, like if women came to her castings to be put on dates with rich men and they had curly hair, she would be like, you need to straighten your hair or you're fucked. Like men want to run their fingers through your hair. And if they can't, they don't want to touch you.
It's such a wild take.
Insane. Like, and I would love to see if she's altered that approach. I don't think we've seen any women who do not present with straight hair on her dates so far on the show. And yeah, it's that. And it's like, oh yeah, some men like tall women, other men like spinners, which is much grosser than it sounds. You can Google it. But it's basically a way of saying some men like really petite women for sexual reasons. And so the whole vibe of Millionaire Matchmaker was very much like she was sort of a procurer rather than a matchmaker. Like she is like the human version of seeking arrangements. Like she was trying to find like the right woman fetish object for a man who had enough money to pay for it. And so to try
and then,
to
and then justify
that,
those desires into like harsh truths that you might not want to hear, but they're going to help you get what you want.
Yeah. And like that kind of relationship, like a rich man who's going to, you know, have a sugar baby, basically. That is the power dynamic. Like he's paying so that he can have a woman who is pliable and looks and acts the way he wants. I don't agree with that relationship format, but that is sort of what it is. But it's interesting to see her try to like contort this approach to just normal dating, sort of egalitarian normal dating. She doesn't know what to do with it.
No, she seems very confused.
And she has like kind of softened. I didn't hear her talk about spinners at all, thank God. These are things that like seared themselves into my
brain. I don't think she said the penis does the picking.
No.
Either. She seems to have let go of that one.
So far.
Yeah. There's only been two episodes.
At one Still point, time. She does like give a public demonstration of her famous blowjobs to her friend who is struggling to find a man and thinks it's because she's too prudish.
That's Gigi from
Gigi.
Shaws of Sunset, right?
Yeah. And she's like, men stay for my blowjobs. Let me show you. Bring me a banana. And they cut away before we can see anything too graphic.
This is a network show.
So they focus a lot on gender roles in the first two episodes. The emphasis is really on women being like soft and feminine, like receptive, not bossy, not too forward, like sitting back, submissive. Inviting, right.
That's her thing
gentle.
With Gigi.
Yeah.
She's like, Gigi, you're too hard. You come in too hot with all the questions. Like you're interviewing a man. Like you need to be more open, receptive.
Yeah. You don't need to ask men questions. They don't need any invitation to talk about themselves. She doesn't say that, but that's the real reason you don't need to ask men questions.
But it is just so wild because sometimes, and I think you pointed this out, that she will diagnose something real, which is like someone is coming off a little too hardened and doesn't seem actually open to being on a date in the first place.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, if you want to be dating, that's probably something that you should think about and try to adjust to like be just like an inviting person. But that kind of advice does not have a gendered nature until Patty arrives. And she's like, well, this is because you're a woman and you're being too hard and men don't like that. Rather than just like, who would want that energy on a date?
If you're a man, it's actually attractive to be cold and rude and order women around on dates and pepper them with questions and then make sort of snarky responses to their answers. Women love that. It's fine if you're a man. But if you're trying to be a woman, if you're trying to be feminine, you have to be soft and receptive and nice instead. So she has to be nice because she's a woman. And Patty keeps harping on her that she needs to like embody femininity more. And then in the second episode, Patty meets this macho looking dude named Cody. And he's a little socially awkward. Like, he's really, like, tall, buff, handsome, like, dark hair and beard, like, looks hunky. But he's a little socially awkward. Like, is kind of maybe doing a little bit too much in conversation, trying to goof around and, like, always break the ice, and it's not quite landing. And she diagnoses him in the most, like, pathological way. She's like, well, you were raised by your mom and sisters, and they made you have too much respect for women, and you're too, like, you ask women for consent for things and permission, and that's bad. Don't listen to your sisters who told you to respect women. That's stupid. Women hate that. You're too people-pleasing. You're too passive. You need to be more masculine. You need to have masculine traits like confidence.
At one point, he is describing, he's like, yeah, I think Patty makes such a good point because I have, like, two parallel tracks going on at the same time, which is like, on the one hand, I see women and want to hit on like every woman-like creature that passes me by.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I'm like, be respectful. And so I think that's why I'm struggling. I was like, what?
And what the solution is to stop worrying about being respectful.
Yeah. It's like, no, you have to overcome your desire to be respectful and just focus on the hitting on every like living being in your vicinity without regard to who they are. I'm like, yeah, this sounds really good and healthy. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's just being a little awkward and overcompensating and he needs to take a breath and a beat.
Yeah. I was like, I have all these problems and it's not because I'm not, you know, embodying my masculinity enough. Some people are just socially awkward and we don't know how to act in certain situations. She's like, you need to find a woman who is confident enough to let you take the lead. And I'm like, okay, so confidence for men is taking the lead. But for women to be confident, that means letting a man take the lead. And if you don't let a man take the lead, you're insecure.
You're not,
but if you're a man,
insecurity.
And you let a woman take the lead, you're insecure. So confidence means different things for men and women.
Well, look, Claire, that's just how gender goes, okay?
Yeah.
Women are women and men are men.
It just like, it kills me because she's telling people to embody traits that they don't naturally have. Like some of us, I'm not a soft, submissive, receptive woman. And so when people would tell me to be more feminine to attract guys on dates or like be more like sweet, I was like, well, then what are they going to think when they're in a relationship with me and I'm not like that? Like I'm kind of a handful. I'm opinionated. I can be very snarky. I can be, you know, I needed to be with someone who knew that that was on the label. Right. So she's trying to like coach people to end up in relationships with people who don't really so appreciate who they really are.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a recipe for absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And it also just feels so out of step with conversations about dating that we have today. Like it really feels like a time capsule. Like I don't, and I don't believe that any of these people are really going to be helped by Patty unless she happens to set them up with someone that they actually get along with.
Yeah. There's something right? weird like, about this that's like, it's almost like it's in between the current like liberal consensus on gender politics and roles and the backlash, which is very trad.
It's not trad wifey. It's not trad wifey at all. It's not like, you should stay home and women should not be in the workforce.
No,
and
it's not, still the same like late 90s, early aughts. Yeah. Like men and women just are different and we're wired differently in dating and like the rules girl gender politics.
Yes. It's very the rules coded.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say one more thing about Cody's date, which is that, or Cody's episode. They try to counteract this tendency that he has to be passive by taking him for a ballroom dancing lesson with like a ballroom dancer.
And who was on Dancing with the Stars.
Who was on Dancing with the Stars, of course, with Nick, I think. They were like, they knew each other from there. And then they keep being like, oh my God, she's leading again. He's letting her lead. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't fucking know how to ballroom dance.
Yeah, that's how you learn to ballroom dance. You can't lead if you don't know what to
Where is he going to lead her? He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, I understand that the male role, like, it is a very gender normative art, and the man is supposed to lead traditionally.
Yeah, but generally...
But he has to learn how to dance first. This is his first right. dance lesson. He doesn't know what's going on.
Generally, when someone's leading, they have the skill set. That's yeah. kind of required.
But he learned like, no enough. Cody.
Well, I guess he has the skill set because he's a man. So yeah. that's all you need.
You just need to lead. Doesn't matter where. Lead her into the wall. Lead her into a ditch.
It's just funny because then we like see this date that he goes on that goes pretty well. And the vibe isn't that he's just like telling her his date what to do and yeah. like grabbing her the whole time. It's just that he's a little calmer.
Yeah.
And he's letting her speak actually, and then he's speaking like it's yeah. they're just having an equal conversation and then she's like good job leading.
I actually think the most awkward parts of that date were when he was very self-consciously trying to take their advice, one of which was like just take her hand without asking and lead her out of the restaurant, and he does and she like goes along with it, but it felt like pretty forced and awkward to me just watching it. And if I were on the date, I would be like, okay, this feels like he's like fulfilling an assignment of some kind. He's like lunging for my hand. And then when they get outside, he does a little twirl that he learned in the ballroom class. Like he twirls her around and then realizes and then says goodbye very cutely and then realizes that they're walking the same direction. And I was like, see, learning these specific moves to be like a male leader did not actually alleviate the social awkwardness. Some of us just are that way.
Right. And I got the sense that this woman he went out with was just into his personality. And yeah. he went in there with a little bit more confidence. And maybe I know that for some people, like learning a script or learning tips can totally. Just like allow you to relax into a situation a little bit better. So I think some of the success we see is just a result of that rather than the actual advice, which is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. It's funny, Nick kind of fades into the background in a lot of this. He's definitely not going on these tirades that are like you have to be in charge because you're the man, and
no,
stop listening to your bitch sisters. But, you know, his advice is a little bit more on the like filling in the I'm a man who can talk to other men sort of side of things, like getting together solo with the guy and being like, what if you just like didn't try so hard? What if you just relaxed? Let your real personality come out. You know, that's confidence. And it's like they're like, Patty can't talk to men enough, so we need to bring someone in who can take a slightly more chill masculine approach to this, I guess. I don't know.
He did tell Cody, like, try talking less, which frankly is good advice for men on dates.
Yeah. I think with dating advice, you're always going to be like approach, like in this weird space where you're like, how do you get people to like cultivate dating as a skill without having them kind of posing as someone that they aren't?
Yeah.
And I don't think that Patty's advice was really getting me there. Because she's no. like, be a different person. The person you are isn't aligned enough with the gender you present as. Nick's was a little bit less overtly, you know, prescriptive in that sense. But overall, the vibe was just very not working for me.
It's just an extremely, extremely retrograde vibe in general. I did enjoy, there was one woman who has alopecia and she was very self-conscious about the fact that she wears a wig, but, you know, she takes that wig off at night and she's like very nervous about how to talk to men about the fact that, you know, she that it's not her natural hair.
And Patty's like, it's okay, your face is beautiful, so it's okay. If it wasn't, you'd be fucked. She is a very conventionally like beautiful woman. And Patty's like, it's fine. That's all men need.
Yeah. Patty's like, at least your hair is not curly.
Yeah. And your wigs are straight, you know? So you're good. You're doing great.
But that was the one date that I was like, oh, I like her. And the guy that they set her up with is like super cute. And
oh, I wanted to date the guy.
And I really wanted to date him. I was like, oh my God, this floppy-haired, nice, soft boy who's wearing glasses. Yeah, science writer.
Who wants to, I would be
he
like...
He wants to think about... He wants to talk about dinosaurs, and he's so interested in her. And when she says, like, oh, I shaved my head because I have alopecia, he's just like, that's awesome. I'm like,
yeah, it's like, that's badass. Yeah. To have like, that confidence.
Who's this man? Tell me more. And check in on them.
She doesn't want children. And so then she asks him about kids and he's like, oh, I don't really know what I want to, you know, if I want kids per se, I'm more just looking for a partner. And then, you know, that would be the next conversation. But like, I don't necessarily need kids. And she's like, well, he wants kids. This will never work. I'll never see him again.
That was the one time I agreed with Patty when she was like, this really shouldn't be a deal breaker because I literally interviewed him and he said he could go either way. So like...
Yeah. And that's true. I just read an interview with Ina Garten where she said that Jeffrey decided not to have kids because he wanted to make her happy. That can happen.
I mean, look, some of us are truly... ambivalent and could
you
go
you gotta be
way.
Open to those conversations. But yeah, I enjoyed that date and I enjoyed her storyline. And I also just enjoyed seeing Justin Glaze being super awkward on dates again, which is the fourth single
oh
that
my
we
God.
See.
He's so awkward.
He's so awkward. And he didn't get the confidence talk. They're just like, Godspeed,
well, like,
Justin.
We assume you're confident. You were on The Bachelorette. You're hot. You're fine.
Yeah, he's...
And I guess he is fine because he's literally dating Susie and they seem very happy.
Listen, I'm evidence, Justin is evidence. Being socially awkward on dates does not mean that you'll be single forever.
No.
You can move past that. You can find someone who accepts your awkwardness. You don't have to pretend to be someone you're not forever. I think also they were... definitely just like, Nick, bring us some Bachelor people.
Yeah, they were like, come on, local singles.
Yeah.
You gotta have them.
Yeah.
You were on this show. And Justin was a good pick. It just felt very weird because he's in such a public relationship now.
Yeah. I mean...
But, you know...
Back then, he was
What can they do? They film these shows like a year before they air.
I mean, it does lend credence. Like sometimes guys go on these shows and they're like, I'm really ready to finally settle down. And then like 15 years later, they've never been in another relationship again. Justin said he was ready to settle down and look at
him. And he was.
He was ready. Yeah, good for him.
A man of his word. Any other thoughts on this show?
Oh, God, I have a lot of feelings about this show.
Mostly anger. At
frustration
Patty specifically.
Yeah. Especially at Patty. I mean, I'm probably going to keep watching because here's the thing about this show. I remember when I started watching The Bachelor, and a big part of what made it compelling to me was that it pissed me off all the time. And this show has that. Like, I'm going to watch and I'm going to be like,
How dare you tell this woman she needs to be more feminine?
Right. I mean, imagine being trapped in a marriage with a man who wants you to be so soft and feminine all the time when you're not that person. Like, Gigi is so clearly not that person. And then you're going to be bound together for life with someone who expects you to be performing femininity in this specific way all the time. I hate that. It makes me so mad.
Also, Gigi seems to have a really great life.
I know, like, she has a son. She has, you know, family, friends. She's got it all figured out. She took a long break from dating to focus on being a mom. She chose to have him by herself, so she's really a single mom in the truest sense. And like, she's like, seems like she's got a pretty good life. And what, now she's got to bring in some guy who doesn't even like her for who she really is? Why?
I don't know. I was like, Gigi seems fine. I don't think she needs your help.
I don't think she needs to pretend to be some sort of sweet girly girl. I don't know. I do think that, like, as The Bachelor has kind of evolved and tried to meet culture where it is today, try to modernize, diversify, like, be a little bit less, you know, hung up on these gender roles and norms. I mean, it still is The Bachelor, but, you know, it has tried to
evolved a little bit.
Yeah. And so this brings back some of that feeling that I used to get, where I would just be like throwing stuff at the TV, which, you know, that is compelling for me. That's how I got into this business to begin with. So I have to be honest about it.
Basically, if you want just like a nice little dose of anger at the patriarchy, Patty will give that to you.
I wish it were a little. If it was going to bring this representation of like conservative gender roles, I almost wish it were more timely or like of the moment. Like, Patty and Nick are both, I mean, she's older than Nick, but they're both kind of Gen X cuspers. Like, he's a millennial cusper. She's a boomer cusper. And they're speaking to like a pretty dated image of these gender politics. It would be kind of interesting to me to see what kind of dating show tried to speak to the current gender backlash, like feminist backlash.
Yes.
In the way that it's emerging.
That's actually interesting.
From younger people. Not that I'm like, in the sense, rooting for that.
No, Claire's like, please, what we really need is not this bullshit. We need a trad wife dating show. Match older men with 22-year-olds who just want to submit. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. I want it to have the kind of men who are like all over my Twitter feed being like, you know, I'm doing a raw meat diet and my wife will feed our children unpasteurized milk and she will bear 15 blonde children for me. Like, that's the modern iteration.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not going to be Patty Stanger.
No,
she's not her own vibe.
She's a time capsule. Yeah. And Nick is there. And, you know, we love Nick as a friend. And this show is, I don't love this show as a friend. But I love it as an enemy.
Yeah, sometimes you need shows that are enemies, and this is our new enemy. So before we get into our final roses of the week, Just letting everyone know that next week we will definitely be checking in on the next couple episodes of Lovers and Liars, and we'll do a brief little check-in with Farmer Wants a Wife. And definitely let us know what you guys are watching that you'd like us to discuss in these grab bags. We're really thinking about this as like a romance media grab bag. So anything in that space that you are really into and think we should be too, let us know.
And now it's time for the final rose. Emma, what's your final rose this week?
My final rose this week is going to go to Rachel Kirkconnell and her incredible side eye that she gives when Tyler Cameron offers to clean out a bowl for her so that she can prep her salmon for like a group dinner they are having, a Friendsgiving, with his t-shirt.
He's wearing the t-shirt.
He's wearing the t-shirt. He grabs the bowl. He takes a piece of his t-shirt, like removes it from his skin. And
like
just,
he's polishing his spectacles or something.
Yeah.
Just but he's really wiping out a food out prep bowl.
The inside of the food prep bowl. And Rachel is just staring at him like, fucking boys.
But I was concerned. I didn't see her being like, we actually have to wash this with soap now because you just spread your sweat all over this bowl. I really hope that's what happened because that's horrifying. But it was such like contractor like brain for a second where he was like, normally when I clean something, I can just sort of like wipe it off with whatever rag is around because it's just like getting the sawdust off of it or something. But
right. And you just have Rachel staring at him like, the fuck are you doing?
You understand why it. Rachel and Tyler might have sometimes clashed during this scene. My final rose this week is going to April's Instagram comment on Teresa's divorce announcement. This is what I really love about The Golden Bachelor. It's not just that there's that refreshing sort of wholesomeness of like, they get along, they're friends. It's also like, there's a refreshing lack of awareness about how messy they're being, you know?
Yeah, it's no just savviness. Like, they're not polished. And yeah, that
the
we
mess
love
is
them.
The best mess. I'm obsessed with it. And this really made my day when I saw that comment. I was like, yep, that's what I'm here for. I love mess.
And on that note, that is it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Tatiana Kinney-Smith is our production assistant. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv and our art is by Celine Chang.
If you like Love to See It, please remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us 5 stars, leave a review, and of course, spread the word about our show to all of your friends.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at claireandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on TikTok at Love to See It Pod and on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at claireandemma.substack.com. I'm also on social media at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week.
Stitcher.